You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Tuesday, November 20th. I am Chris Manning, your host from ForTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site, and this is your daily look at the Cavaliers from the number one daily local sports podcast network. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review is the best way to support the show, and you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. On today's show, I'm going to be going into the Cavs' 113-102 loss to the Pistons last night in Detroit. This was not a game that was as close as the score would seem to indicate. And then at the end of the show, we're going to take a look at where Jetty Osman currently stands and what the rest of the month and lead into December looks like for him as he comes off a back injury. We're going to start today with the positives. Now, there are some in this game, actually, and this is another game where, although the Cavs lost, and this was another blowout loss where they looked very out of sorts and proved to be very bad, I still think there are some positives, more so than some of the early season losses that we saw. And that starts with Colin Sexton, who has been the real bright spot, I think, for this team over the last few weeks, especially with Osman out and when he returned against the Wizards, not playing well. Sexton continues to just be interesting because I think he has adapted his game since he started starting. I don't know 100% how sustainable what he's doing right now is. I don't 100% know what it's going to look like in a month or what it looks like when George Hill gets back. These are questions we just don't know. But here's just his stat line for the night. He had a plus minus negative 21, which is not great. But in 24 minutes, 6 of 10 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 of 6 from the line, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 1 steal, and I think crucially, 0 turnovers. I'm loving what we're seeing out of Colin Sexton right now. I think he's really owned up to the starting role. He's really taken this opportunity and ran with it. This is something that obviously was going to be a concern. I think he was thrown into starting very quickly. He was thrown into starting basically because George Hill was a late scratch against the Thunder. And now I just don't know if you can relinquish it. We'll get into some of the negatives of this game for him because I do think there were some issues for Colin Sexton in how he was defending guys like Ish Smith and guys like Reggie Jackson. But offensively in particular, this is a guy that I think continues to look better, and that's a positive for the Cavs. This season, if it wasn't at the beginning of the year, it is now. It is about developing young guys. This is about getting Colin Sexton ready to be good in 2 years, good in a few years when this roster and the whoever they get at the top of the draft next year and free agent season, if Nance develops and maybe Kevin Love, when those guys are all sort of ready to compete and make a push for the playoffs again, this is a step towards that. It is a small step. It is a blip. It is a one small data point on his overall career and his rookie season. But he's playing better, and considering what he looked like when he was playing bad early in the year, I think you have to be very happy with what he's done, especially since he's become a starter, which is another, I think, at least on offense, an impressive game for him. Speaking of Jetty, he was back in the starting lineup, which I think is a good thing, and he looked more like himself. The back injury he had, I think, was clearly bothering him, and anyone who's washed up athletically like me or just in general that has had back issues, that limits you. That limits your mobility. That limits your ability to bend and get a defensive stance on defense. It limits everything. You don't feel good. You don't want to move when your back hurts. He didn't look comfortable when he played against the Wizards either, and didn't quite look like the full of energy, aggressive player that I think we've come to know him as. He looked more like that guy in this game. The one thing that I think you can tell where he felt better was that this is a guy moving up the floor. He was running off of rebounds. He was pushing the ball. He was trying to initiate transition buckets and transition offense for the Cavs. When he does that, that's sort of what he's most comfortable doing. When he's in transition, when he's in open floor, that's when Jetty, I think, is offensively most comfortable. He was doing that. And was his overall night perfect? No. I mean, 1 of 3 from 3, only 10 points, only kind of a performance on defense for him, 3-5 from the line, 2 assists, only 1 steal, just 1 turnover. 1-3 from three, again, is not great. But this was more like the Jetty that we saw at the beginning of the year, and more like the Jetty the Cavs are going to need if they want to make some progress. He has a long way to go as a player. There's a lot more we're going to say about him later on in the show, but at least a more Jetty-like performance. And the three he hit, some of the passes he made, the type of stuff you want from him. So a better performance from him. Good to see him looking more normal than we've seen him of late. David Nwaba, again, another game for him where I think he's just proving that this guy deserves minutes. I think Larry Drew asking him to defend Blake Griffin is a step too far. And that was a big issue when he had to defend Blake, who's like 6 inches taller than him in the post. But at least he tried, and he at least has the strength more so than Jetty does. He continues to rotate well on defense, and he does smart things that other guys in the Cavs just don't do, like rotate on defense and communicating in defense and pointing out where guys need to go on defense. He also does a nice job, I think, of driving, of getting to the rim a bit, of initiating some of these plays and at least taking the opportunities that are given to him. 6 free throws is really good for him as well. You have to keep playing him. I think he helps insulate Jetty. I think he helps insulate everyone on the floor with his defense right now. He's just a little victory. But I think Gatsky playing, and I think he's earned it of late. I think 3 games in a row now, he's looked really good. And I'm a big fan of what Nwaba has really provided for the Cavs. Last real positive for me in this game is Ante Zizic. This is maybe his best game of the year. He had some really nice buckets. He rebounded well. He physically did what he could against Drummond. The Cavs as a whole, which we'll talk about in the bad, were atrocious on the defensive end. They were literally just garbage defending at the rim and defending Drummond and Blake inside. But to Zizic's credit, he defended in a way that I at least liked what he was trying to do. He didn't try to lean on Drummond. He didn't try to out-physical Drummond. Tristan sort of tried to do that, and it didn't work. That's not what Zizic is going to ever do well. He's just not that guy. What he did was he moved his feet. He didn't try to block shots. He tried to go vertical with his arms up in the air and make the shot harder to make. Drummond still had a good game, did well in his minutes against him. But I like that Zizic tried to do something just a little bit different, a little bit for him, just shows that he at least can move a little bit with his feet on defense and at least can not be completely helpless on it. And I have concerns about him. I have concerns about his mobility, his athleticism, all this stuff. But for me, I did like that he at least did something where it wasn't a complete disaster. You saw the offensive touch for him in this game. You saw the rebounding from this game. And those were the two things that do make him valuable, especially on a night where Larry Nance didn't play well. And Tristan was it was good to see Zizic play well. I haven't loved what he's been of late. And for him to play like this gives you some encouragement about him as a prospect and what he could at least do a little bit more of going forward, because he should continue to get minutes this season because they have to start finding out what they have in him and at least give him a chance to do something. But that's all it for the good. Tough game for the Cavs. Clarkson was okay. Hood was okay, but not a lot of other good for this game for the Cavaliers as they lose yet again. But we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear from Jetty. You're going to hear from our sponsors. And then we're going to be back to go into the bad of Cavs Pistons. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. But the truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you do, you have to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. This is your best bet this season. This is a company that's been in the business for years. They have great online reviews and their mobile site is easy to use. I'm urging you to use my bookie because they have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you could even bet the over or under on how many fantasy points the player is going to score in each game. If you join now, MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus and have them match your the first deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Jetty, back in the starting lineup tonight, how'd the back feel? And, you know, obviously you got to get your rhythm back now, but how did you feel out there?
The back was feeling good. I was 100% ready to go, and just trying to catch that rhythm again that I had in the beginning of the season. So, but I mean, I was feeling good on the court. At one point in the second quarter, I felt a little bit tired. But when I look at the end of the game, you know, I was feeling good most of the game.
And I assume this is a point where you've got to be patient to allow that rhythm to come back, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Just have to be patient and just do the same stuff what I was doing and be patient and trying to do my best as every time.
Obviously, Drummond takes up a lot of space in that lane. Things become more crowded, correct, when he's out there? He's not a great shot blocker, but a guy that you got to respect at the rim.
Oh, no, definitely. Him and Blake, those are the two guys that are, very good at blocking shots, and especially when you see them over there waiting for you, like, you have to go actually, trying to finish over them. Or because in the other end, like, when you're just going there and then go out and just, you lose the position, you will miss everything. So just have to go at them. But it's real difficult when they're in the paint guarding you.
So there you heard from Jetty, who did sound, I think, a little bit dour after the Cavs lost to the Pistons. So looking at the bad, we're not going to cover every bad thing because I do not want to just make this a crap on the Cavs podcast. They're in a tough spot. They're not very good in general. There's just a lot of things here. But number one, they're awful at defense. They came into the game worse in the NBA in terms of defensive rating. Imagine they're going to stay there. And they tried playing zone, and it just didn't work. The first position they tried it, you saw them, Tristan's pointing, if you go back at the end of the first quarter, it's like 2:14 on the clock. Tristan is in the middle. They're playing four wings around him. He's calling out where to go. The Pistons basically just do some basic ball movement. It results in a corner three, I believe, for Ish-Smith, and he sticks it. JR just didn't rotate to the corner. The Cavs have to find ways to get creative and do better on defense. I don't think zone's the way to do it. This isn't a team that does not communicate well, does not really rotate well. That's for a zone defense to work, guys have to communicate, guys have to know where to be, guys have to close out well. A lot of things the Cavs don't do. They aren't heady defensive players. That's a real concern, I think. I guess I get Larry Drew going forward. I guess I get him trying to try something different to make a tough situation work. But it obviously didn't work. And if you run down the list of issues I have with this game, they are all basically defensive issues. The offense is what it is, but the defense really just keeps the Cavs from, even if they have a good offensive night, it really keeps them from even having a shot to win games a lot of the time. Colin Sexton in this game, again, had a good offensive night, but was really just rough on defense. One of those games, when you go back and look at the film, you're going to see a guy that he's a rookie point guard, and he still has a long, long way to go in terms of reading pick and roll defense, in terms of kind of staying with some of these more tricky ball handlers. Like, Ish-Smith really turned him like a top several times in this game. That's a tough look for Sexton, a tough learning experience for him. Larry Nance Jr., no success against Blake Griffin. And I think where the Cavs really lost this game and where the Pistons had their biggest advantage was in how these two teams approached the rim and how these two teams scored at the rim. So the Pistons scored 52 points in the paint in this game. Per cleaning the glass, they took 36% of their shots at the rim and made over 71% of them. That's really, really good. They also shot 34% from three and took 42% of their shots from three. That is 90th percentile in terms of three-point volume. For the Cavs, they took 24% of their shots at the rim, 24% of their shots from three, 52% in mid-range. They only made 39% of those mid-range shots. They shot better from three than the Pistons at 38.1%. They were okay at the rim at 64.7%. Where the Cavs lose and where their offense, I think, really, really falls apart is in what they're doing in terms of the structure of their offense. It is so heavily reliant on the mid-range. This is not anything new, but it continues to be an issue. And when you look at how the Pistons are able to get this big gap, and even when the Cavs do okay-ish on offense, they're not able to catch up. It's because the Pistons' offense is oriented to do more valuable things. They take threes, they get shots at the rim, and they made those things at pretty good clips. When the Cavs are also bad at defense, that absolutely dooms you, and the Pistons just got whatever shot they wanted at the rim. The pick and roll was just devastating for them in this game. Drummond got whatever he wanted, really. Griffin got whatever he wanted. And threes, guys were just getting left open. The Cavs were not rotating correctly. They were not getting to the right spots in terms of anything. And that's, again, like, I get Larry Drew going to his own because maybe he thought that would help and maybe it would help them clog up some passing lanes. But instead, the Pistons just moved the ball and picked the Cavs apart in that way. The Cavs just are just atrocious on defense, and the Pistons aren't even a great offensive team. They're fine. The Cavs are just that bad on defense that they're going to get picked apart. And this, it again, their chances of a comeback in this game are just destroyed when they orient their offense the way they do. And I don't think there was, except for Nwaba, Jetty was okay-ish. I don't think anyone had a good defensive game. And that's the new normal. That is the normal for this team. That's not going to be going away anytime soon. Just where the Cavs are at right now, and it's where their personnel is at right now. Other bad things, Rodney Hood, I thought, had a good aggressive first start when the game was kind of back and forth early on, and then he just disappeared. He cannot disappear like that. The Cavs need him to really be more aggressive. He was even looking for threes. Tristan even set like a really good screen for him at one point to allow him to go to his left and take a three, and then he just disappeared. That cannot happen for Rodney Hood. If they want any offense, he kind of has to be a guy that initiates a lot of it, and I would trust him taking threes more than I would take Clarkson taking threes, but Clarkson's going to get those shots because he actually goes out and gets them. Rodney Hood doesn't. Kyle Korver was back, which was good, but he did not play well. Missed two technical free throws and was 1-5 from the field. Didn't look quite in rhythm. They need his offense as well, just to kind of offset what Nwaba's issues are, what Jetty's kind of issues are right now. They need Korver, and he just did not look good. And then no idea what's going on with J.R. Smith in this game. Plays 6 minutes, is out of the rotation in the first half, after the first half. After his first stint, when he's like the second guy off the bench. And he, when they went to zone, he was the guy that didn't rotate. He just actively did not rotate on that end. Actively was just not interested in playing zone. That's a rough look. He just didn't look interested, didn't really look like he wanted to be engaged in this game. And that's, I can understand his frustration with everything going on, but that's real tough. And that kind of stuff just adds up and dooms you as well. I wonder if he ends up back in purgatory once everyone's healthy again. I think this game will lead you to think that might be possible. Andrew Harrison, who didn't play well in this game, could even be ahead of him as well. But a weird night for JR, and kind of makes me ask more questions about where he is going to be. So again, overall, Cavs defense really, really bad. Larry Nance Jr. really bad in this game. No one except Nwaba, who was just put in bad positions and probably didn't even play well on defense, had a respectable defensive night. The Cavs are just atrocious on defense, and they don't help themselves when they're not taking the kind of shots that allow them to at least compete mathematically and have a functioning competitive offense. But that's going to be it for the bad. Just no need to keep harping on it, but you are going to hear from Kyle Korver, and then we're going to be back to talk about Jetty and what's coming up next for him. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
My overall thoughts. We just got in a big hole early. Gave up, I think, 40 points in the first quarter. And, you know, tried to, you know, kind of change up the game with the zone and did some different things. But just it wasn't our best game.
Defensively, do you feel like you're still learning where everyone is supposed to be? Describe what it is out there, especially in transition defense.
Yeah, I think that's really a big key for us. Is we talk about it all the time, but we have to. When the ball goes up, the other team shoots the ball, we have to sprint back, and we got to get matched. And you know, I'm not saying that was the sole reason why we lost tonight, but that was definitely one of the reasons. There were several plays. We looked at a few at halftime. You know, where we just weren't getting back and getting matched up. They were easy. Evil gets the basket, or, you know, we try to rotate down and they get an open three. You know, it's just basketball is a game of all the little things. You know, it's all the little things, and we didn't do enough of them.
Larry Drew said that the physicality of his team wasn't there tonight. What do you need in order to improve that?
I mean, physicality is all just about heart and effort, you know, and they got some big bodies, you know, it's easy, they got some big bodies that you got to push back on. And if you don't, you can really see a difference. And, you know, I thought Tristan did well in the first half, really battling, pushing back. But other than him, I don't know if we really, had much, I don't know. I don't want to say anything about anybody, but I think, the game of all the little things, and we just didn't do them in it.
How are you feeling tonight? First game back for you?
Yeah, I felt my body feels good. I felt a little out of rhythm, and missed some shots, but physically I felt really good.
And we're back now that you've heard from one Kyle Korver to go into looking to talking about Jetty. Osman has hit something of a first real NBA season wall. He had that really, really good start, but he's just kind of come back down to earth in a way that makes sense because he's a young player, because he's figuring his way out in the NBA. So I think his struggles make sense. I think they are fine. I think they are expected. He's going to make a lot of mistakes. He's going to have some bad nights. That's very normal for a rookie player. You have to kind of take it as it comes a little bit too and just kind of know that hopefully it gets better and that he has some good moments. And I think tonight he actually did as well. He's also just in a tough structural situation. He's had to play the four some. Hasn't really lately, but he's had to. And he's had to guard bigger guys a lot. And they're kind of throwing him to the deep end in some regard. And I hate that he has to play the four. I hate it. He's not built for that. He's a guy that I think in his best NBA version, he's playing the two. He's a big two, maybe can play some three in some smaller lineups, some smaller situations, but he being asked to guard bigger guys just isn't asking to be successful. He's too skinny, he's too slender right now. David Nwaba playing should help insulate him from that, but it's not a cure-all for that problem. Right, they're asking him to do it instead of Rodney Hood because I think they value what Hood does in offense, and I get that, but that's tough. His rotations are at least effortful, but they're not quite accurate, so he's still kind of figuring out where to be, what to do, how to kind of flow correctly in the NBA defense, but at least he's closing out hard, which other guys don't do. And he's coming into a really, really tough test from now until the end of, at least the beginning of December. And he'll also get like Kevin Durant after the slew of games that I'm talking about, or Klay Thompson or whatever. So like, it's not going to get easier for him. But so Wednesday he gets LeBron. He's going to guard LeBron a lot in that game, and that's tough. Then Friday he gets Jimmy Butler and or Ben Simmons, also very tough. Then on the next night he's probably going to spend a lot of time guarding James Harden. I would expect that's tough. Then he gets the Wolves, which is a little bit better, but still very difficult. Wiggins and Covington's not something that he's like going to a test I'd expect him to pass with flying colors by any means, right? Then he gets Paul George. Then he gets the Celtics, who are struggling offensively right now and have a lot of issues there. But it's Tatum, it's Brown, it's Hayward, it's Marcus Smart. Like that, those are tough things for him. Those are not easy matchups. And then he goes into December, and he's going to get Kawhi Leonard, and he's going to get Danny Green, and he's going to get the other wings Toronto has. Like, this is a really brutal stretch for Jetty Osman. He's coming back from an injury. I thought he looked more like himself against the Pistons. But if you're looking at just what these next few weeks are going to look like for him as he comes back, as the Cavs get some guys back, as they start to kind of figure out what they're going to be with more and more guys getting back into the fold, he's going to get a lot thrown at him. All of these opponents, he's probably going to guard the opponent's best player. He's going to ask to be creating more. He's going to be getting open threes and hopefully making them a better clip. He's going to be asked to kind of do what he was doing earlier in the year, but it's going to be against really, really good competition. If you go back to the beginning of the year, he was maybe the Cavs' best player the first couple games. He played really well on opening night. He had a couple other games where he was scoring, he was making threes, he was throwing crazy assists. It was really good, really encouraging, really positive for Osman. That has not quite just been there in like a month. I think if he can get back to it, it would be a really, really, really big deal for the Cavs. It would be a really big deal for him to really kind of settle in back to some of what he was doing really, really well. And at the very least, he is going to at least learn, I think, a lot from these next couple weeks. These are opponents that are going to push him, that are going to make him grow, that are going to kind of show him some things about himself and kind of tell him where he's at. If you listen to the early part of the pod where you heard him, that's not a normal positive Jetty. I think he's normally a more upbeat guy. He's more of a fun-loving guy. Even post-game, he at least is a little bit more peppy. But ever since that back injury and I think this loss, it's not an easy thing for him to kind of just hop in, take it, be what it is. He is going through this NBA season for real for the first time as a real NBA player. This is a guy that sat at the bench last year. This is a guy that was just there to play some defense and kind of be along for the ride last year. Now he's a big part of what they're doing. There's been a lot of change, a lot of chaos. He's had the injury. He's back now, and he's going to be asked to do a lot. And I'm very curious to see how he does handle it. I'm very curious to see what this does end up looking like for him. But I think there is some reason to be hopeful that he can do well. And I think if you're looking at the thing I'm hoping he does best at, if you're looking at something these next couple weeks that you would hope kind of does look good in what he's doing. Jetty right now is shooting 31.5% from the three-pointer arc on 4.5 attempts per game. He's not shooting well at all. He's shooting like 40% on two-point shots, and he's shooting pretty poorly at the rim as well. So, like, his defense is going to struggle. His rebounding assists, whatever. You know, he's got a negative assist turnover issue right now. Let's just see if he can get better at making shots. Three-point shooting would be probably the more, like, fun one. But if he can start finishing better inside the paint and at the rim in particular, where his finishing just isn't strong and his finishing isn't quite at the level where it's like he draws fouls at a really good clip either. Although he did that okay against the Pistons. If he can just get back to making some shots and kind of being a little more efficient, that would be a big step for him in these next couple weeks. But that's also a tough ask. It's going to be a lot of him, and the Cavs' offense isn't really built to help him get easy looks, especially when they're playing too big. So it's complicated. It's not all on him, but let's see if he can make some more shots at the rim. Let's see if he can just kind of get back in that flow he had early in the year. It's been a tough go for him. I think he'll learn a lot from this, but it's been a rough stretch for Jetty. And it'd be nice to see him and Sexton, I think, kind of get going at the same time. But that is going to be it for today's show. We're going to be back tomorrow to get you ready for LeBron's return to Cleveland. A whole lot is going to go on Wednesday. It's going to be, there's the ESPN commercial that's out there. It's going to be a big media environment, a whole bunch going on. I'll be there covering the game live, so stay tuned for that at Fear the Sword. If you want questions answered in the next mailbag, which TBD when that will be, but you can submit those anytime to @LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. As always, a 5-star review on iTunes is the best way to support the show. And thanks again to MyBookie for sponsoring it. And again, back tomorrow. Cavs will lose tonight, but we're going to be back tomorrow to get you ready for LeBron's return to Cleveland with Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers. Thanks for listening. This has been Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs, and this has been your episode for November 20th, 2018. Cheers.